Good evening. Thank you very much for joining. Good to see everyone. Thank you for joining on the Zoom. And tonight, of course, we'll be discussing this week's Parsha, which is Parshas Vayera, which begins in the aftermath of Avram Avinu's circumcision. So in the end of last week's Parsha, Parshas Lech Lecha, Avram Avinu is 99 years old, and the Almighty tells Avram Avinu that the covenant with Avram will not be fulfilled through Yishmael, but rather Avram will merit through Sarah to have a child. But Avram Avinu has to fulfill the covenant, the pact with God, through engaging in Bris Milah, circumcising his foreskin and circumcising the foreskin of his slaves and all the members of his household. So Avram Avinu performed the Bris Milah, performed the circumcision. And now it's the third day after the circumcision. And the verse begins of this week's portion, Vayera Elav Hashem Be'elonei Mamre. God appeared to Abraham. Abraham was sitting on the plains of Mamre. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch explains Elonei doesn't mean the plains, but rather the oaks. The Alonei Bashan, the oak trees of Bashan. So Elonei Mamre, he was sitting at the next to the oak trees of Mamre. And Avram was sitting, the verse says, emphasizes, he was sitting at the entrance of the tent when it was an extremely hot day. Rashi says that these first words, and God appeared to him, says Rashi, to visit the individual who was sick. Avram Avinu was sick. It was the third day after the circumcision. His pain was very severe. And at this moment, when his pain is very severe, God comes to visit him. And he has the experience of communing with God. Not that God told him anything. We just find that God visited him. Rashi says, Levakara Sachola. So I saw that Rav Moshe Feinstein, of blessed memory, in his book, Darash Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein points out that it's very interesting that God's visit is defined as a visit to visit the sick. The subject of visiting the sick is found in Masechet Nedarim. And there the Rishonim, the Ramban, the Ran, and others explain that there are two basic reasons why we have a mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. One reason is by visiting the sick person, a person will be inspired to pray for him. The Shechina is found with the sick person. And so when we visit the person who's sick, we are inspired to realize there's a need here. And just even being there in the room, it's in a very special place. It's a holy place to pray for him. Going to visit a sick person is an opportunity to hear what he's going through and for your mercy to be aroused and then to pray. In fact, while generally we turn in our prayers towards Jerusalem, in the presence of a sick person in a hospital room, you can say a Misha Berach or a chapter of Tehillim while facing the individual who's not well, because the divine presence, the Shechina, is found over the bed of a person who's sick. So one reason why Rishonim explain why there's a mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, a mitzvah to visit the sick, is in order to be able to pray for the sick person, to be inspired to pray for him, and thereby to help him through our prayers. The other reason that's given for visiting the sick is to literally help him out. A person who's sick is less able, less mobile, has more needs. So there's a mitzvah to visit the sick because he's going to need someone to help him, to bring him food, to bring him medication, to help him walk. A mitzvah to visit the sick in order to serve him. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, let's think about this for a second. If the whole purpose of visiting the sick is in order to pray, to be inspired by what he's going through, to pray for him, it doesn't apply to God. God knows everything. God's fully aware of everything every moment. Why would the verse say, Vayera Elav, God appeared to Avram, and Rashi says, Levakara Sachola, to visit the one who's sick. God doesn't need the example of the sick person to be inspired to pray for the sick person. First of all, God doesn't need to pray. And God already is all powerful, and he's aware of everything. He's all knowing. And even if we can say that the purpose of visiting the sick is to help him out, it doesn't look like that's what happened here. Here God came and appeared to Avraham. It doesn't say that God in any way was helping Avraham, serving Avraham. Avraham presumably didn't need the help at that time. He's sitting at the front of the tent. He doesn't need anybody's help to help him, to help bring him things, etc. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, we learn from this Rashi a very powerful lesson. God gave us 613 mitzvos. And many times the commentators find reasons for the mitzvah. We do this mitzvah for this reason, for that reason. The reasons of the mitzvos are themselves a commentary on the mitzvah. First is a mitzvah. Now, the reason helps give color, sometimes helps define how and when to fulfill. But it's built on top of the core. The core is that there is a mitzvah. And so the real motivation is, God told me to do it, that's why I have to do it. This reason, that reason, maybe it applies, maybe it doesn't apply. Those are all commentaries. The core is to just do the mitzvah. David HaMelech said, "Kol mitzvascha emuna." The root of all your mitzvos is faith. And I'm doing it because God told me to do it. That's it. God told me, that's why I'm doing it. Rav Yoel Kahn in last week's parsha suggests that part of the reason why we first are introduced to Avram Avinu with the words Lech Lecha is because it's to display the uniqueness of the Jewish people. Not to just tell us a great man, but a great Jewish man. And when Jews perform mitzvos, it's not based on, well, I agree with this reason, I agree with that idea, so I'll do it. When a Jew does a mitzvah, it's because God told us to do the mitzvah. It's Lech Lecha, Me'artzecha, leave your land, what you want, Latzecha, your birthplace, Me'beis Avicha, El Aretz Asher Ereka, to the land that I'll show you, I'm just doing what God tells me to do. Underlying all mitzvos, we need to have that underlying commitment. I'm doing this because God commanded this. And I want to fulfill His commands. I want to fulfill His orders. And the reasons are really a flavor. The word for the reasons for mitzvos is ta'ami mitzvos. Ta'ama mitzvos. Ta'am is a flavor, a taste. It's to give a flavor, a little added feeling, a little added inspiration. But that's not the real objective. The real objective, God told me to do this, I have to do what He tells me to do. I'm following Him. I'm going to listen to whatever He tells me to do. So God modeled that. The mitzvah of visiting the sick is for people to be inspired to pray for the sick. The mitzvah of visiting the sick maybe is to help a sick person who is in bed with all of his needs. Those are the reasons that are commentaries. Those are commentaries to give flavor. Those are commentaries to give perspective. But the real basic point is God told us to visit the sick. And whatever God tells us to do, that should be our commitment to doing. Because He told us to do it. That's why we do it. Because that's the mitzvah. That's the commandment. So God modeled that by God Himself showing up and visiting Avram Avinu to show that the core of the mitzvah is to do what He wants and to ignore the tamim, to ignore the reasons, to do what He says, just to listen to what He says. That's the basic part of a mitzvah. This is what He told me to do. That's what I do. That type of a simple faith. Why I do it? Because He told me to do it. That's why I do it. Because God is the commander and God told us to do these things. And we trust Him and we rely on Him. That's the highest way of fulfilling a mitzvah. Not for the world to come, not for this world, just because He told us. And we are loyal servants listening to Him, hopefully. And so to model that, right after Bris Milah, right after the circumcision, the Almighty comes to visit Avram as a visitor of the sick. Even though the reason for visiting the sick to pray doesn't apply to God, He doesn't need to pray. Because the real reason why we visit the sick is because God told us to visit the sick. And our basic commitment is to listen to what God told us to do. That's one beautiful idea that I saw suggested by Rav Moshe Feinstein. Along on this verse, again, the verse begins, the very first verse, and God appeared to him on the plains of Mamre, or next to the oak trees of Mamre. Rashi quotes the Midrash Tanchuma. Who's Mamre? Mamre was one of Avraham's non-Jewish allies. Avram Avinu had three non-Jewish allies, Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre. And they lived near Avraham in the area of Hebron. Hebron was called Elonei Mamre. the plains of Mamre. That's where, that was the area, that was the name of the area. And Avram Avinu was living there, and he asked Mamre apparently about the Bris Mila. And Mamre, Rashi says, who shenasan lo eitz al amila? He's the one who advised Avraham to do the Bris Mila. Lefichach nigla elav bechelka. That's why God appeared to Avram in Mamre's portion. Why does Mamre merit that this great revelation of, and God appeared to him, would occur in Mamre's land? Why didn't it occur in Jerusalem? Why didn't it occur in some other area, Be'er Sheva? It occurred here as a reward to Mamre. Mamre advised Avram to do the Bris Mila. So therefore, God would appear in the territory of Mamre. That's what Rashi says. So this Rashi is a very, very difficult Rashi. Because we know Avram Avinu, as we just got through saying, was an amazing example of doing things because God told him to do them. God told him at age 75 to leave his homeland, his birthplace, his family, go to the land that he will show him. Avram goes without any questions. Avram is extremely loyal to God. He's tested 10 times. He passes all of the tests. So why, when God tells Avram to do circumcision, would Avram suddenly have a doubt? Ask Mamre? And Mamre said, do it. And then he does it. Now he's willing to do it. What does Rashi mean when he says these words? Hu shenasan lo eitz al amila. He is the one who gave him the advice about circumcision. Can we really imagine that Avram Avinu himself wasn't sure if he wanted to listen to God who said, circumcise yourself? He has to ask Mamre. When Mamre says, do it, then he went ahead to do it. Very difficult comment of Rashi. So Moshe Feinstein suggested, and maybe Avram Avinu certainly was planning to do the mitzvah of circumcision. God told him to do it, he was going to do it. But how to do it, that was another question. Maybe he should do it publicly, or maybe he should do it privately. It's circumcision. No one needs to know that he did it. He could have gone into a closet somewhere, had a surgeon, done the act, and not tell anybody about it. Go out of commission, not circulate amongst people for a couple of days, and get back to be amongst people. No one has to know what's going on underneath his undergarments, what's happening there, whether it's circumcised or not. So Avram Avinu didn't have to do this publicly. He didn't have to tell anyone. And that's what his question was. Should I tell people or should I not tell people? Now, if we think of the course of Jewish history, circumcision was a great divider between Jews and other societies. The Greeks, for example, were extremely offended by the idea of circumcision, cutting off a piece of skin as if a person in his natural body without any procedures isn't perfect. The person's perfect. The body's perfect. Nature's perfect. The Greeks were very offended at circumcision. They were very upset about circumcision. And circumcision was always a big divider between the Jews and the rest of the world. In fact, Christianity really left Judaism when the early Christians were upset about the idea of circumcision, and so therefore to help make the religion more palatable to the nations of the Middle East, they said, oh, really, part of Otoa Ish's novelty is that you just circumcise your heart. You don't need to circumcise your skin. You just have a certain feeling, and that's already enough. You don't need to do circumcision of the skin. Circumcision was a source of great division, great divide. So Avram turns to Mamre. He has a problem. I know that my mission in life is to spread the awareness of God to the world. That's my mission. My mission is, Vayivan Shem Mizbeach, Vayikrav Hashem Hashem. Avram builds altars, and he spreads awareness of God to everyone. That's my mission in life. That's what he's all about. So should I publicly announce that now I'm different, I've gone against everybody else, I've cut off some skin? Or maybe I should hide this fact, not tell people, and, do it privately. No one needs to know. What's going to hurt my mission more? So presumably, doing it publicly is going to hurt his mission. If he does it privately, he'll be able to more easily convince people that he's one of them. They should listen to him. They should listen to his insights. They should be more acceptable of monotheism. Circumcision went against the mission of Avram Avinu. But he went to Mamre, and he asked him what he should do. Mamre said, do it publicly. because Mamre is also saying, we have all sorts of calculations, you know, for this reason, for that reason, it's not so good to do the mitzvah. Bottom line is, the best way to fulfill your mission of spreading Judaism is to be a loyal servant of God. A loyal servant of God is going to spread Judaism. When people see that someone listens to what God told him to do, God said to cut off the skin, and he goes and he cuts off the skin. He does it in public, and it's unpopular, but it's what God told him to do. He's just listening to God. That type of simple loyalty, that simple faith, that helps Avram in his mission more than anything else. What helps Avram's mission is the absolute simple commitment, listening to what God told him to do. Are there calculations and arguments to say, well, you know, for the sake of being more acceptable and more popular, no one needs to know about this? Sure, there are all those arguments. But there's a counter argument more powerful than those. And that is, God told me to do this. I'm going to do what God told me to do. I'm going to do it in public because I'm publicly showing that I listen to what God tells me to do. And when we follow the Almighty and just listen to Him, that is the most compelling way to bring people to the Almighty. The most compelling way to bring people to the Almighty is simple loyalty to God. And so Mamre, who tells Avram to do it publicly, he gets rewarded that God appears in Mamre's portion. Maybe what Rashi means is not that Avram wasn't sure whether or not he should do circumcision. Avram wasn't sure, should he do circumcision in public or should he do it in private? And Mamre said, do it publicly. And since Mamre said to do it publicly, Avram did it publicly. He said, I accept that. I accept that the most compelling way to bring people closer to the Almighty is to follow the Almighty with a simple faith, to listen to what He tells me to do. That's going to be the most inspiring. And that's, in fact, my mission. I'm going to do it in public. I remember once a student of Rav Soloveitchik, Mr. Irwin Shapiro, told me a story that he had heard, that he once overheard a tape where Rav Soloveitchik said on the tape that there's a story about Rav Kook. When Rav Soloveitchik was in Israel for the one time, he was in Israel in 1935, he was a candidate to be the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. In the end, they chose a different candidate, but he was there in 1935 to become the chief rabbi. So he visited some relatives of his wife, who lived in a non-religious kibbutz. And when he got there, they offered him some fruits and vegetables. He said, I can't eat it because you don't separate chumos and maestros. It's not a religious kibbutz. They said, no, here we have a rabbi who comes in and he separates the chumos and maestros. The kitchen is kosher. You can eat here too. So how did that happen? A non-religious, anti-religious kibbutz is separating chumos and maestros and serving kosher. They said what happened was that Rav Kook once came to this kibbutz for Shabbos. When he came to kibbutz, he asked them if they would make for him a minyan. They said, no, they don't make a minyan. They're not religious people. So Rav Kook davened by himself because they wouldn't make a minyan for him. And he came to eat in the chadar ochel with all of them. And he talked to them and he encouraged them and he spoke with them and answered questions, engaged in debates. Same thing Shabbos morning. Same thing Shalosh Shudas. And Rav Kook had his own food. And on Matzah Shabbos, they made a big bonfire, and they were sitting around, and the kibbutzim used to sit around and sing. They were singing, and Rav Kook sat with them, and he sang with them, and Rav Kook told them stories, and he gave them Divrei Torah and speeches. He was an amazing darshan. And it was very, very moving. So the next day, when Rav Kook's car came to take him on Sunday, the whole kibbutz came out to say goodbye to Rav Kook. And Rav Kook then said, you know, I hope next time I come, we'll all be able to eat the same food. I hope next time we'll be able to have the same food. So they had a vote, and they decided to make the kitchen kosher. But why did they make the kitchen kosher? Sir Rav Soloveitchik said, because they had experienced a genuine religious experience. They saw a person who was uncompromising on his standards, uncompromisingly kosher. He was someone who was warm, filled with faith in Hashem, with Avas Yisrael, and they had a religious experience. So they said, okay, we'll have some more religion. The genuine religious experience, that's what Mamre tells Avram. Do it in public. Cut off this foreskin in public. Do it in public. Tell people that you did bris milah. Because a genuine, clear loyalty to listen to Hashem, to follow His guidance, that will be the thing that will inspire people, and that's what will ultimately bring people close. A similar idea is found in the Sfasemes. The Sfasemes says, where the Sfasemes presents it, it's that Avram turned to Mamre and he said, you know, my mission in life is to try to bring people closer to belief in God. If I'm going to be different, if I'm going to do the circumcision, so then will it help my mission or hurt my mission? So according to the Sfasemes' interpretation of this Rashi, Mamre said, it will hurt your mission. People will say, oh, he's different from us. He's not the same. Why should we listen to him? But even though it'll hurt your mission, you should still do it, because it's what God told you to do. And so Avraham Avinu listened. He gave up some of his own spirituality just to do what God tells him to do. Maybe he wouldn't be able to continue with his life mission, with what gives him so much pleasure. It's what God tells me to do. God told me to do this, I'm going to do it. Simply. So willingness to give up spiritual pleasure gets rewarded. And God says, I'll appear in the section of Mamre. Now you'll have a special connection to me. Vayera Elav Hashem, Be'elone Mamre, the plains of Mamre. So my teacher of Wolfson added, we find that later, 450 years later, Kalev ben Yefuneh, when he's one of the 12 spies, the verse says, Vayavo ad Chevron. He went to Chevron and he prayed there. So Rashi explains that Kalev ben Yefuneh went to the grave of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, to Ma'aras HaMachpelah, and he prayed that Hashem should save him from falling into the plot of the spies. So Kalev left the other spies and he goes down to Hebron. Why didn't he leave the spies and go to Jerusalem, go to the Temple Mount, go to where Yaakov Avinu said it's Zeshar HaShemayim, this is the gate to the heaven, pray there? The answer is because Hebron is the place of Elone Mamre. Mamre was the one who first told Avram Avinu, you should sacrifice some of your spiritual joy, your mission of reaching out to others, to listen to God simply, to just listen to what he tells you to do, to cut off the foreskin, to do the bris milah. Listen to God, that's better than the spiritual pleasures. And that's the place where Kalev went to get strength, because the Zohar tells us that the reason why the spies wanted to stay in the desert and why they brought a negative report about the land of Israel is that the spies knew that in the desert they were leaders. And Hashem gives a special gift to the leader. The leader gets a special attachment to Hashem. So the spies wanted to stay in the desert in order for them to be able to have the spiritual pleasure. But the reality is our goal shouldn't be spiritual pleasure. Our goal should be to listen to what the Almighty wants us to do. So for Kalev to get the strength to resist even the temptation or the desire for spiritual pleasure and to just stay focused on listening to what the Almighty wants us to do, Kali went to Hebron, to Eloni Mamre, in order to gain that strength from there. Again, all right, these are ideas again on the very first verse. The next part of the verse says, V'hu Yoshev Pesach HaOhel Kechom Hayom. And Avram Avinu was sitting at the entrance of the tent on the very hottest part of the day. The sun was out, it was very hot. Avram was sitting at the entrance of the tent. Rashi explains, Pesach HaOhel is at the entrance of the tent. Liros Im Yesh Over V'Shav V'Yachnisim Beveso. He wanted to see if there's a passerby, a traveler, because he wants to bring them into his home. Kechom Hayom, like the heat of the day. Rashi explains, God took the sun out of its pouch to make it extraordinarily hot, so as not to bother Avram with guests. But since God saw that Avram was in such pain that there were no guests, so he brought angels that looked like people and brought those angels over to Avram. So Rashi says, Avram is sitting there, he's in pain, but he desperately wants to have guests. So God sends him angels that look like people. So everybody asks on this comment of Rashi. Avram Avinu wants to do a mitzvah, to welcome guests. There's no mitzvah of welcoming angels. There's a mitzvah of achnasas archim, v'haft l'riacha kamocha, love your friend like yourself. You don't have to love an angel. So loving your neighbor as yourself includes within it achnasas archim, to welcome a guest, someone who doesn't have a place where to eat, bring him into your home, give him a place where to sleep. It doesn't apply to angels. Those are not your friends. They're not your peers. So what is God accomplishing by sending angels if what Avram is looking to do is to welcome guests? And furthermore, the whole mitzvah is to welcome a guest. If a guest comes to my home, I shouldn't say, no, sorry, can't come eat here. You're not welcome. No, come on in. You're welcome. But if there is no guest, so what is Avram looking for a guest? He's exempt from the mitzvah. There is no mitzvah right now. There's no mitzvah. So what's he standing at the heat, in the heat, waiting for a guest, looking for a guest? So Moshe Feinstein answered, this is the nature of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu has a desire for mitzvos. The same way some people are hungry for food. And if there's no food around, they're still going to be hungry because they want the food. Avram Avinu has a desire to help other people, to do for others, to give to others. And if there's nobody around to help, it's devastating to Avram Avinu. He has a tremendous desire to try to help people. We find that this really should be the attitude of Jews. And I really, really want to do the mitzvah. It's an opportunity. It's not a burden. It's an opportunity. It's a privilege. It's what I live for. Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem tells Moshe at the end of his life that there's a mitzvah to set aside six cities. Three cities on the other side of the Jordan River and three cities on the western side of the Jordan River. Arei Miklat, cities of refuge, so that if Chas V'Shalom, there's somebody who kills by mistake, he can run to the city of refuge and be protected. Now Moshe Rabbeinu knew he was not going to enter onto the western side of the Jordan River. He knew he was going to die on the eastern side of the Jordan River. Now the cities only start working once all six are set aside. And yet Moshe sets aside three cities. Because Moshe, like Avram, viewed mitzvos as a great privilege. I'm desperate to do them. I wanted to do them with such a drive. He feels deprived and denied a staple if he's not able to do the mitzvah. So when you have that type of a drive, you so want to do mitzvos, even to do part of it is already something. So let me do a little part of it. So a piece of it I'll do. My father had the privilege that when he was learning to become a rabbi, learning for smicha, so he would go down to MTJ, to the Lower East Side, and he would learn with Rav Moshe Feinstein. He learned in his yeshiva, he learned in his shir. So my father had a car, and he used to drive around Rav Moshe Feinstein. So my father told me that whenever they would drive on the Lower East Side, and there was a Jew walking that Rav Moshe knew, Rav Moshe would tell my father to stop the car and offer the Jew a ride. Offer him a ride, take people around, give them a ride in the car. Because that was the nature of Rav Moshe Feinstein. It was looking for mitzvos. It's going to take me out of the way. It's a chance to help somebody out. Stop for this one, stop for that one. He was looking to do mitzvos. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is looking to do mitzvos, even if he couldn't do the whole mitzvah. So at least part of the mitzvah. At least to be involved with the mitzvah. We find the same thing in Parshas Baaloscha. The Torah gives the mitzvah, it tells us the story of Karban Pesach having been brought, and then by Yihyan Hashim Ashayut Meim Lenefesh Adam, there were the people who were Tameh, they couldn't bring the Karban Pesach. And they come to Moshe, and they come to Aaron, and they say, Lama Nigara, why should we be left out? Why should we not be part of our brothers, not able to bring a Karban Pesach? There should be a makeup. I mean, why should we be left out? Because to bring the Karban Pesach, you have to be pure. And when the time was there, you weren't pure. So you were left out. No, these are people with a drive. They embrace mitzvos. And since they embrace it, they want to be close to it. At least have some connection to it. Lama nigara. That's the way somebody who is serving God out of love does mitzvos. And so that's what the verse is saying here about Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu looks at guests as a great opportunity, as a great privilege. That he needs it. He needs to be welcoming the guests. He needs to be doing for others. He's living for that. And since he's living for it, and he has a tremendous desire for it, that's why Avram Avinu is waiting in the heat, desperate. So God sends angels. Are the angels human beings? No. Is welcoming angels really the mitzvah of welcoming guests? Also not really. But it's touching it. There's a little bit of connection to it. And because there's a connection to it, there's a bit of an attachment to it, that's also something. And that's the way a person has a love for mitzvos. He's willing to do anything to at least be connected to the mitzvos, to be in the world of mitzvos. You know, someone on Shabbos asked me, the verse says that Avram Avinu fed to the guests milk and meat. The verse says that Avram Avinu came to the guests. He took butter, he took milk, as well as the cattle that he had prepared. And he put it before them. He stood under the tree and they ate. So he fed them milk and meat. So the person asked, how could Avram feed them milk and meat? Avram Avinu kept the Torah. You're not supposed to have milk and meat. So there's a Gemara, there's a Medrash. The Medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah at Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu, the angel said, no, we want the Torah. Don't give the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. Tnaot Chalashamayim, keep the glory of God in the heavens. The Torah should be given to the angels. So God tells Moshe, give them an answer. So Moshe tells them, what does it say in the Torah? God says, it says in the Torah, don't eat milk and meat. So Moshe says, how could you be the ones to get the Torah? You ate milk and meat. Because when you visited Avram Avinu, the verse says that, he stood over them under the tree and they ate. So you already ate milk and meat. So since you ate milk and meat, you clearly don't keep the Torah the right way. Since you don't keep the Torah the right way, you don't deserve to get the Torah. So I saw that Rav David Kviat of blessed memory asked, I don't understand. Rashi also told us that the angels didn't really eat. They were just acting as if they were eating. And from here we learn Derech Eretz, that a person should always act k'minhag ha-makom, like the custom of the place. So if they didn't really eat, they just burned it all up. They didn't really eat it because angels don't need to eat. So then what's the claim against the angels that you once ate milk and meat? So Rav Kviat suggested that because there's a rule that you should act in the way of the community, of Derech Eretz, when the angels came down to earth, they clothed themselves in a body-like shell. So when Avram Avinu fed them the milk and meat, the body-like shell that these angels were wearing like a clothes, that's what ate the milk and meat. But they themselves didn't really eat the milk and meat, that's what Rashi says, because they themselves are an all-consuming fire. So they just burned up the milk and meat. So maybe that's why it wasn't really a sin to feed them milk and meat, because maybe Avram Avinu sensed that this person is not really a person. This is just the shell of an angel that just looks like a person. So this can eat milk and meat. But on the other hand, when they try to ask for the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu says, to get the Torah, you're going to have some type of human form. So because the Torah is talking about humans and human obligations. But when you had your human form, you allowed your human form to eat milk and meat. And eating the milk and meat already disqualifies you from getting the Torah. But this was the passion. Avram Avinu had such a passion to welcome guests. Hashem sent down angels and allowed these angels to have a little bit of a human form so that there'll be an element of welcoming guests so that the passion will be somewhat realized. Moshe Feinstein's son of David Feinstein points out that the verse says that when the three angels appear in front of Avram, so Avram Avinu tells them, come in to my tent and wash your feet and relax under the tree and I'll take bread and you should fill your hearts. Then you can leave. Ki al kein avartem al avdechem. So what an interesting phrase. Ki al kein, for this reason, avartem al avdechem, you've come by your slave. What do you mean, for this reason? The verse could have just said, ki avartem al avdechem, because you've come by, let me give you something to eat. What's the phrase? Ki al kein, for this reason you came by, says Rav David Feinstein. When Avram Avinu saw what looked like guests, he believed that God had sent them to give him the privilege of welcoming guests. If guests came, these are people sent by God to give me the gift of being able to welcome them, to give to them. Ki al kein, for this reason, for the sake of welcoming guests, that's why you came. It's very normal that when someone's talking to family members or on a busy, important call or reading something interesting, watching something fascinating, and then there's a poor person at the door, there's a guest that's coming who's knocking, we get a little frustrated. We get a little annoyed. I'm doing something else now. Now I have to switch my focus. We should learn from Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu gives us a whole different perspective. That person who came by with his needs, with my demanding of me involvement and time, that person was sent by Hashem so that I could fulfill my mission. That's a bracha. That's a blessing from Hashem, so that I can have my chance to do a mitzvah, to fulfill my mission in this world. Anytime we have a chance to do a mitzvah, we need to grab it. This is a privilege. Rav David Feinstein quoted a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos on page 121b. The Gemara says, if a person is visited by snakes and scorpions, so he's attacked by a hissing snake, if he kills the snake, then he should know for sure that these snakes came to him for him to kill them. And if he didn't kill them, then he should realize that the snakes came to kill him. And he just got a miracle from heaven saving him. So Rav David Feinstein explains, a snake is a hazard. It's a danger. If a person hits a snake, God put this hazard in front of me. If I then kill the snake, in other words, I see this is a privilege. God gave me a privilege now to remove a danger. I just saved lives. I just protected others. Then know that that's what it was sent there for. It was sent there for you to remove it, for you to do the mitzvah of protecting others, to give others also a benefit. But if the person doesn't remove the snake, but he himself escapes from the snake, then the fact that he had an opportunity to do a favor for others, and he didn't do a favor for others, that itself means that he deserves death, and he was saved in a miracle from death. We are to learn from Avram Avinu that to do something which helps others is a privilege. Ki al kein, for this mission, this is why you've come here, so that I can have the privilege of doing a mitzvah to help others. There's a famous Gemara in the Masechet Baba Basra, Daf Yud. The Gemara says that Turnus Rufus, the wicked governor, the Roman governor of Israel, asked Rabbi Akiva, Im Elokeichem Oevaniim, if your God loves the poor, Lameinu Machalkalan, why doesn't he give them provisions? Why does he make us give them provisions? And Rabbi Akiva answered, God makes us give charity to the poor so that we should merit to have the mitzvah of tzedakah. Hashem is giving us this obligation because it's a privilege for us to be able to do a mitzvah of tzedakah. That's what we're learning from Avram Avinu. He's excited to do the mitzvah. Ki al kein avartem al avdechem. This is why you came here. You came here so that I could have the mitzvah of achnasas orchem. Not a sense of annoyance. God is with me. I'm able to talk to God. No, it's a privilege. It's a privilege to go out and to help and to welcome the guests. It's a very beautiful thought from Rav Soloveitchik of blessed memory. Again, our parsha begins with God revealing himself to Avram after the circumcision. Avram is sitting at the entrance of the tent looking for guests, and he sees three earth worshippers, and he says to God, please wait, and he runs out to welcome the guests, and he begs them to come in with him to his tent and for him to give them some help and to give them provisions. So the Gemara says from here, you see from here, Gdol achnasas orchem, greater is welcoming guests. Yoser mi kabalas pnei shechina. It's greater even than greeting the divine. It's greater than bonding with the Almighty. That here Avram Avinu was bonding with the Almighty, and greater than that is to stop with the bonding and to say, I have to go welcome the guests. How could it be that welcoming a human being is a bigger deal than bonding with the Almighty, connecting with Hashem? What could be better and connecting with the Almighty? So Rav Soloveitchik explained, God's creation of the world is a form of God welcoming guests. Because before God created the world, there was just the infinite light. God's infinite light filled the entirety of the world. And when God's infinite light was filling the entirety of the world, there's no room for people to exist. So for a world to exist, for a physical world, God made a tzimtzum. He contracted. He withdrew to create a void, and in that void, he filled it with his lights, and his lights eventually became the world that we have. So God pulled in to welcome world. He took himself out of the picture to give space for the world. So his whole creation is really a form of hachnasas orchem. God brings us into his place. You know, if you don't have any guests, so you're not sacrificing your privacy. When you welcome a guest, so now you don't have your privacy anymore. Now this person sees what you're doing, that person sees what you're doing. But that's what God did. He gave away his privacy to welcome the world. So therefore, the Gemara says, when you welcome a guest, you're emulating God. Greater than bonding with God is to act like God. Gadol hachnasas orchim yosef mikabalas pnei shechina. Greater to welcome the guests than to bond with God, because when you welcome the guests, you're acting like the Almighty. And better to act like the Almighty than to bond with the Almighty. Rav Samson Raphael Hirsch had a phrase. He said, in Judaism, the focus is not what I think about God. In other words, we're not focused on talking about angels and, you know, theodicy and things about God. The focus is, what does God think of me? What does God see in me? And how am I behaving in this world? Am I behaving in this world in a way that God says, ah, that's a godly way of acting? So that's perhaps the idea. Gadol hachnasas orchim, greater to welcome the guests more than greeting the Shekhinah. Because greeting the Shekhinah is bonding with God. But to welcome the guests is to act like God himself acts, to give away our privacy, to bring people into our place, the same way God brought us all into his space. We bring the guests into our space. That's acting like God. And that's what ultimately gives him the great nachas, when we act like him and we emulate his ways and we follow in the ways that he wants us to follow. Thank you all for joining. Everyone should have a wonderful night. I'm looking forward to learning together tomorrow and on Shabbos, Bezos Hashem.